Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Again, we touched on some of the things of Matthew chapter 13 on Wednesday night. I'm not going to try to re-preach all that, but I want to bring us up to where we are in our study. Just as a reminder, though, we'll look at a few things here in this passage of Scripture, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege you've given us, Father, to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs we're heard today, and Father, we're hearing in our ear, and I pray that you bless those songs, Father, that minister to our hearts, as well as through your word, Father, find a lodging place in every heart this morning. I pray that you illuminate this mind, guard these lips, Father. I do pray, and help me, Father, this morning to stay focused, and Lord, to deliver the message as you've given it to me. I pray, Father, that you'd help the hearers, Father, this morning, they would hear your word, receive your word. And Father, we can leave here today saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Pray for every man of God this morning that stands behind the sacred desk. Lord, you touch them, use them, and Lord, that you'd speak through them. Father, we do pray that souls are saved, lives are changed, Father, in this day. Father, we thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing and what you've done. And Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us just the privilege, Father, to worship in spirit and in truth. Be with those that's not able to be with us today, Father, than those, Father, that have willfully just chose to not serve you today, to willfully do other things. I pray, Father, that you would help them, Lord, to see the error of their way. And may they come to the realization, Father, that they have neglected your house, neglected your word. And I pray, Father, that you convict their hearts and their souls, Father, their wrongdoings. And Father, they would repent of that, and Father, get themselves back in tune with you. It's our prayer. Father, we pray now that you bless those that are here. Help us, Father, to grow and to glow for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' loving name we do pray. Ask these things. Amen and amen. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13. We start in verse number 1. It says, "In the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and the Bible says, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and do hear the things which you hear, have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." I'll stop reading there for the sake of the message. I'll read some more scripture, but I'll stop reading there for the sake of the message this morning. Now, to bring us up to speed and understand who we are, we spoke on Wednesday night of the fact that Jesus Christ, it was prophesied that he would come, and Jesus Christ would be rejected of men, amen, And we know that that was fulfilled. He was born of a virgin. He came as he was prophesied he would come. And he came to the Jews. He came to his own. He was to be the Messiah of the Jews. And then whenever he came, they rejected him. Now we know that the prophecy taught that he would be rejected of men. So his rejection, as we discussed on Wednesday night, was the fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. That he was rejected of men. Because he came into his own received him not. The doors opened to the Gentiles. Therefore, Jesus Christ instructed the disciples, and he tells them, while he's speaking to these multitude of people, he's speaking to them in parables, it's because they have rejected him. They have eyes to see and ears to hear, but they have not seen, because Christ is standing right before them. He's spoke to them, he's preached to them, but they have not heard the very words that he said. So he's speaking to them in parables, and he shares with the disciples that there is a kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom, which was the kingdom that Christ was set up on earth. That kingdom has not came yet. Amen. We are not building that kingdom. That's all up to him to do. Amen. So in the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophets there did not see the church age. We talked about that on Wednesday night. They did not see the church age. It was like a valley. When you're looking across the mountaintops, you see two mountain peaks, but you don't see the valley. Amen. That's the church age. You don't find that in the Old Testament prophecy. They talk of the first advent of Christ, his coming, being born, and he comes on the scene, born of a virgin. Amen. We see that. It's prophesied of that. And also we see him coming in the second advent when he touches down on this earth. Amen. That was prophesied through the Old Testament prophets. They saw that. They didn't quite understand all of it, but that's what they prophesied. That's what they preached. So there's the parentheses there of the church age. That's what Jesus Christ is explaining to the disciples. This is the church age. You're now commissioned. He's commissioned them, not as the prophets of old, but as the New Testament disciples. He's commissioned them to go forth and preach the gospel message to everybody who will believe. Amen. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so that was the word that went forth, he says to the disciples. They have rejected. They have eyes they won't see, they have ears they won't hear, neither will they open up their hearts and believe. But he says to the disciples, ye have heard, you have seen, and those things that you've seen, there's many men, there's many prophets that would love to see the things that I have shown you. There's many that would love to hear the things I have told you, but they haven't heard that. Ye are blessed beyond measure. Amen. God has blessed you with the things that you see and the things that you hear. And then he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. We're in verse number 19 now. When he comes, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He begins to discuss the seeds and how they're distributed and how they're received. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. And yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that received the word in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Stop reading there, verse number 30. And so we understand there's a parable here that Christ has given to the disciples, and he's explaining to them the seed and who the sower is. Now, the meaning of these individual parables as we're looking at, the Lord interprets the first two parables, and then the interpretation is the key to understanding the rest. So let me give you this. First of all, as we're looking at this, the field, as hopefully everybody understands, the field is the world. Amen. When it's talking about the field, that is the world. And the sower, the man is the sower, which is the purchaser of the field, which is the merchant man that's mentioned in these parables. That's none other than Christ. Amen? So the field is the world, the man is Christ, and the seed is the gospel. Amen? It's the gospel that goes forth. The soul is the hearts of men. All right? So when we look at this, I want you to understand that and try to get a hold of that, that the world is the field, that Christ is the man, the gospel is the seed, the soul is the hearts of men, and the birds that it talks about that comes and devours, that's the devil, amen? Or the devils that works for the devil, amen? So we're looking at the sower. Look in verse number 3 real quickly. The Bible said, "And spake many things unto them in a parable, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Verse number 9. We look there, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear what he hath to say." Amen? Listen to what the Lord has to say. And so we're dealing with some, there's comparable scriptures in Mark and Luke also that deals with this same thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15 is parallel passages to that. So the main message here is that the gospel will be preached to all nations and resisted by the devil. Amen? Listen, from the very beginning, the devil's been resisting God. Amen. In the garden, he wanted to be as a God. Amen. He had a job. He had a position in heaven. Then he didn't want that. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be in place of God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. And so ever since then, he's been kicked out of heaven. Amen. The devil was, listen, hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for men, but for the devil and his angels. He was kicked out of heaven because of his wickedness, amen, because his deceitfulness. And all those angels that fell with him are still with him and doing his work. Amen. And so he's rejected God, and he's going to reject the work of God in the church age. And he's doing that. There are two parallel programs that is operating during the church age. Stay with me. And try your best not to lose me. And I'll try my best not to get away from you. Amen. There's two programs, parallel programs, that is operating right now in the church age. Number one is the Great Commission. Amen. God's people are commissioned to go and preach the gospel. Amen. To go tell it. Get the message out. You don't have to be a preacher to go tell it. Amen. Use your testimony. Go tell what Jesus hath done for you. Amen. It's the Great Commission. That program is God's program right now during the church age. And the second thing is that is the mystery of iniquity that is operating right now. That is the devil's program, which is to steal away everything that God tries to do. Amen? Tries to discourage, tries to get people to reject and not receive the Word of God. Amen? So there's two programs that's operating right now. Let me help you just a little bit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says here, "For the mystery of iniquity, which is the work of the devil, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That is dealing with the Holy Spirit that will allow men to hear the Word of God. Amen? There will be a day when he'll be taken out of the way. So we find here, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Amen. So we realize, we understand according to Scripture, there is the gospel age, amen, that's the gospel Great Commission is going forth in the church age dispensation, which is where you and I live right now and will be here till Jesus raptures out the church. Amen. That we have that job to do, which is to get the gospel out. But while we're doing that, the mystery of iniquity, which is the work of the devil, he's working against us and working against God to stop that from happening. Amen. Now, he can't stop it from happening, but he can stop people from hearing and interrupting their lives and destroying that fruit. Stay with me. I've got a short time to preach a long message, so just bear with me, all right? I'll try not to go too long. We always have tonight. Amen. The mystery of iniquity is the devil's program to destroy the gospel and to put the Antichrist on the scene, on the throne of the world, and we know that's coming. Thank the good Lord in heaven above. You and I won't be here when that happens. Amen. But he's working to make that happen. There's many people trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. I don't care who he is. I'm not going to be here. Amen. My job is not to figure out who the Antichrist is. My job is to look for the Christ. He's coming. Amen. I've got a work to do before he gets here. You've got a work to do. We all have a work to do before Jesus gets here, and that's to get the gospel out. Amen. How do we do that? We do that by the word of mouth and by the life that we live before others. Amen. They see what we do. That we let our light so shine, as we talked about on Wednesday night. We let our light so shine that men see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's how we get the gospel out. The seed now, the seed is the gospel which we are to preach to every creature. Amen. Every man, boy, and girl needs to hear the gospel message. Amen. Listen, we have King's Kids and Youth Program at night. You know why we have that? Because those children need to hear the gospel. Amen. We can't make them. We don't manipulate them into believing the gospel. That's on them, but they've got to hear it. Amen. We're commissioned. We have to make sure that is brought to them so they can hear it. Every creature on this earth has to hear the gospel. It is the power of God. Amen. It's the power of God unto salvation to save them which believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, very familiar passage of scripture. He said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in his sight. Amen. Hispanic man walks in here, we're going to preach the gospel to him. Black man walks in here, we're going to preach the gospel to him. Amen. An Indian walks in here, we're going to preach the gospel to him. Amen. Whatever. Every creature needs to hear the gospel. That's why we have missionaries that goes around the world. We can't go to those places, so we send somebody. Go tell them, go tell them, go tell them. That's what we're commissioned to do. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what Mark says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Now, when it talks about being baptized, talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, not being baptized as a way of salvation. I hope you know that, understand that. I'm pretty sure we got that down. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Amen. The door's open. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we're commissioned. Amen. The gospel is the seed, and it is to go forth. The gospel, now hear me, it falls upon different types of souls. And we see that in this passage of scripture, it indicating people and nations. It falls on different types of soul. Only a small part falls on good soul. Everybody ain't going to get saved. Most men, most of mankind will not be saved. Amen. Y'all with me? Only a small part falls on good soul. Though all men are sinners and all men should receive the gospel, should hear the gospel, they all will not respond in the same way. Amen. Hear me now. I'm telling you, there's many times we spend a lot of time with somebody that won't hear us. We cast our pearls before swine, and they trod underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. But we continue to cast that pearl before the swine, and they mock us and they make fun of us. Listen, they're not going to accept it. Move on from that. Amen. Find you somebody that wants to hear the gospel and share that with them. Listen, it's not always received the same way. We should preach the gospel for every person, but we should focus our attention on those who are responsive. It's like fishing. Amen. Whenever we go fishing, we throw our bait out there into the entire lake and invite every fish that's out there to come and take it. Amen. You're welcome to come and take it, but we don't focus on all the fish. We focus on that one that starts biting. Amen. The one that takes it and the one that starts pulling us in. Amen. Y'all with me? Listen, that's the same way with the gospel. We cast it out and we give it out, and we want all men to come, but not all men come. We put our focus on the one that's paying attention, the one that's responsive, that one that wants to hear. Amen. And we teach them when we share them the gospel message, and whenever they're saved and they're baptized and join a church as instructed in the scriptures, then we go find somebody else, and we encourage them to go find somebody else that wants to be responsive. Amen. Only a small part of seed falls on good soil. Most men, again, would not be saved. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, Jesus said that few there be that find it. Everybody's not going to get saved. Everybody's not going to receive it. So a small part falls on good soil. Now, there's many others that fall, and we'll look at those other souls in just a moment. But salvation requires the understanding of the Word of God. Look in verse number 19. Look at verse number 19, Matthew 13. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, the salvation requires understanding the word of God. And the word of God teaches it's not what you do, it's what you believe. Amen. To be saved, what do I have to believe? You have to believe the gospel. Amen. That the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary was God's gift to men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Amen. We don't have to pay that debt. He paid a debt for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that by faith. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but God said it. I believe that. Amen. And I believe that if I believe on him and ask God to forgive me as a sinner, I believe in the finished work of Calvary, I shall be saved. Amen. Every man, boy, and girl shall be saved. If thou call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's what we believe. It's not what we do, but it's what we believe. Amen. Someone said the other day, my daughter, oldest daughter, was dealing with someone, and they said something to her. Said, "Well, you mean if somebody commits smarter than they can still go to heaven?" And she said, "Daddy, how do I deal with that? How do I respond to that?" I said, "It's very simple, honey. You're not saved by works." Ephesians 2:8-9. Amen. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If I had to work my way to heaven, I could brag on myself and what I did. Amen. I can't get there. You can't get there. No man can get there without God. Amen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between man and God, and you can't get there without him. So there's no glory in us. It's all about him. Amen. It's all about him. So there must be an understanding of the word of God. It's not what I do. It's not my prestige. It's not my job. It's not my position. It's not my good looks. It has nothing to do with me except what I believe in my heart. And I'm settled in my salvation because I know in whom I have believed. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul says, and I feel the very same way. No one can be manipulated into salvation. He or she is not, if they're not willing to hear the gospel, we can't make them be saved. If an individual is not willing to read a gospel tract or invite a Christian into their home to teach them the word of God, they cannot be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way. Amen. Somebody said, "I got saved at a singing." Where did you hear the word of God? Amen. Now listen, if they go to these singings and it's all this worldly mess and they say they get saved, I don't buy that. Amen. You got to understand the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God that has the power of the gospel. If they're singing some worldly song or some contemporary type garbage, amen, that has Christian in it or has Jesus' name in it, but they don't hear the gospel, guess what didn't happen? Amen. They didn't get it. It is the power of the gospel, amen, that goes forth. Preacher, I can't believe you said that. I'm just trying to help us, amen. Except they receive the word of God, except they understand the word of God, they cannot be saved, amen. On the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to back this up with chapter and verse because I know somebody would ask the question, amen. Here it is. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 41, the people were willing to hear Peter preach. They were willing to hear. Amen. To preach to them, the Bible says, in many words. They were willing. How did so many get saved on the day of Pentecost? They listened to the Word of God and they understood the Word of God. Amen. The preacher, I don't understand all the Word of God. You just need to understand that you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the main point. That's the idea that we're getting to here. They need to see that they need a Savior. And that's where they were at. They understood they was lost and what they was following was wrong. And they needed Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the Scripture and trying to understand it. God sent Philip to help him. Amen. God sent Philip and they rode together for some time while Philip instructed him in the Word of God. You'll find that in Acts chapter number 8, verse 26 through 31. Cornelius was also, he was calling Peter and he wanted to hear what he had to say in Acts chapter number 10. He's willing to hear. Bring me the message. I want to hear. Amen. I want to hear. When Paul was in Athens there, some wanted to hear more in Acts chapter 17. No one can be saved who isn't willing to hear and to receive the gospel message. The devil is very determined in trying to keep people from Christ. Verse number 19, again, when the word of the kingdom, when one heareth the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that to which was sown in his heart. Preacher, what does that mean? That means they heard it and they know they're lost and they know they need to be a Savior, but they don't understand what it means and how to be saved. And the devil comes along and he snatches that away and he takes it away from them. And it convinces them, don't you go back to that church, they're a bunch of fanatics. Don't you go around them godly people. Don't you go around them Christians, they're crazy. The devil puts that thought in their mind and deals with them in that way. And he steals away the precious Word of God. What they need to hear is the gospel message. Amen. That's why it's so important that you and I here at Midway Baptist Church, and we're here every time the doors is open, and that we continue to invite folks to come in, because there's a lost man, there's a lost girl, there's a lost boy somewhere that needs to hear the gospel message. And every time it goes forth and the devil steals it away, then there's to be another opportunity. Amen. And the doors need to be open and the lights need to be on and we need to be prayed up, so whenever the Lord allows us to preach to them, they can hear it and the devil don't steal it away from them. The devil wants to steal it away. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 verse 15, Satan cometh immediately. The moment that word is received and heard, or heard before it's received, the devil, Satan, comes immediately and he snatches that away. You can't keep people from believing. You can't keep people from believing unless they do not want to believe. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? I'm telling you, preaching is a job. Amen. Praying is a job. Being faithful to your church, it's a ministry and it's a job, because the devil don't want you to be faithful. He wants you to lay out. He wants your neighbors to see your car sitting in your driveway instead of being at the house of God. Because the devil can use that for somebody to see, hey, listen, they're not as strong as they act like they are, because there they are. They're at home instead of being at church. I don't have time to preach all that. Listen, man is the key to this thing. Listen to me. The devil comes immediately to steal away, but he cannot stop people from believing. He cannot stop that. If a man wants to, man is the key. Amen. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does it shine? The child of God, amen, that light is still shining whenever you're faithful to God. When it talks about, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. When it talks about the fruit that comes forth from the believer, there's fruit that bears from the wheat. That fruit is what those unbelievers see, and they see the light of the glorious gospel through the believers. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil's got a job, and I hate giving him credit, but he does good at what he does. Amen. To steal and to rob, and to the Bible says he's a thief and a robber. Amen. He's a liar. And he does that, but he can't stop men from believing. Man is the key. Evangelism is a spiritual warfare. And an evangelist must put on the whole armor of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 8, or verse 18 through 19. I got that backwards in my notes there. Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. Amen. And so we have to understand, as evangelists, we think a lot of times as the men that come to the church, that the Bible says an evangelist is a gift of the church. But everybody's got a ministry. Amen. Everybody's got a ministry. Everybody's commissioned to go and to tell the message. And as we go forth, amen, and we share that, and we have to understand it's a job, and we're to put on the whole armor of God, because the devil wants to put everything he can in the way to stop us from delivering the message. And he wants to do everything he can to get somebody confused about the message and confused about what the Word of God says. And so there has to be an understanding, and we have to have enough understanding ourselves that we can share it with somebody else. Amen. Is everybody all right? Good. I got a few more minutes. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we find here in verse 21, it talks about the root. The one who falls away does not have saving faith. When it talks about those who fall away, let me give you this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, watch this. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? For those that are saved, we're saved. Amen? We're not part of those that draw back. We're not part of those that quit on God. We're the saved. We're the born-again children of God. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's the Bible, amen? The root, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, the root there is speaking of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. In verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says, "There in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, Christ is the root. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 2, the Bible says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. It says he's despised and rejected of men. That was prophesied of Christ, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the root of Matthew chapter 13, verse number 21. A profession of faith is always tested to determine its character. Stay with me. A profession of faith. Someone says, "I believe the Lord has saved me." The profession of faith, "I believe I'm saved." It's always tested. It's always determined. Amen? And it's always, it's a test of faith to see what the character of that, this evidence, if you will, of salvation. In the ministry, I've been in the ministry for many years, and I've seen numerous people come, and they're interested in the gospel, and they may make a profession, and they're interested, but something happened. You let something happen, amen, and they're gone. I've seen it numerous times, and some of y'all have seen it numerous times. They come to the church, they make a profession, and they get baptized and say they want to be a member of the church, and something happened, amen, and they're gone. Amen. There's a problem with their salvation. They was interested in it, but they didn't get it. Hello? They was interested, but they didn't get it. Listen, even a true Christian can be unfaithful if he or she's not careful in how they live. Verse 22, go with me. Verse 22, Matthew 13. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care," watch this, "care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he become unfruitful." There are those that profess but don't possess. They say they're saved, they make a profession of salvation, but they never truly believe the Word of God. And the least little thing comes along, they're out of the church, they're gone, you can't find them, they have nothing to do with God. They're back out in the world, they go back to the bottle, they go back to the drugs, they go back to the things of this world. And listen, there's no fruit in their salvation. There's evidence of true salvation, amen. Even the child of God, if they're not careful in this life, the child of God, the Bible teaches us that the cares of this world can distract us and can control us and can confuse us, amen. And we'll get to the place where the things of God, it's important, but this is more important than God is. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Luke even puts it as being the pleasures. Luke talks about the pleasures of this world. These things, they can draw us and they can distract us. Even the child of God, amen, that has heard the word and accepted it and believed it, your life can be diminished, your light can get dim because you allow things to get in the way. Hello, that's good preaching. A true Christian can be unfruitful if we're not careful. This verse, I believe that this verse can be applied to the unsaved person who falls away as well as to the saved person who does not bear the fruit that they could bear because of their carelessness. Listen, there's danger of the care. I've put these things down real quickly. I'm going to try to hurry. The danger of care. The cares of this world mentioned in verse 22. Care is dangerous when it hinders a person from serving the Lord and when it causes him or her to disobey the word of God. Amen. The cares are dangerous. The cares of this world. Preacher, I've got bills to pay. Yes, so do I. Amen. Who don't have bills to pay? There's things in this life. My car broke down. My ox is in the ditch. Now, if your car breaks down, you can't make it to the house of God. Listen, we understand that. Makes good sense, but they have wreckers. Amen. They can tow them. There's phone numbers. Everybody's got phone numbers. Call somebody, come pick you up. Call a wrecker, come get the car. Get yourself to the house of God. Amen. The cares of this world, I'm trying to help us. That's why I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to help us. The cares of this world would distract us and it would cause us to disobey the word of God. God, listen, he's serious about his word. Amen. He wrote it down so we could have it. The care comes to every person in this present world and we are instructed, listen, we are instructed to and we must care, must cast all of our care upon Christ. We have cares, and cares come, and problems come, and there's cares of this life, but the Bible instructs us to cast all of our care upon Him, for He careth for us. What's my care? Well, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. I don't have any gas money. I can't get there. Cast your cares upon Him. Let Him help you. Well, I'm telling you, boy, the believers in our day could see revival if we get a hold of some of this. The cares of this world, it distracts us and it causes us to let our light go dim whenever we neglect the things of God. God will, according to His word, He will take care of the cares of this life. Many excuses I get from people why they're not at the house of God is primarily because of the cares of this world. Something has come up. Something has happened. Now, providentially, some people are hindered. Amen. I understand those things. But we got to be careful to differentiate between a sickness and the cares of this life. Amen. My family member comes over and it's time to go to church. That's a care of this life. Listen, it's well-pleasing unto the Lord to bring them to the house of God with you. Amen. That's well-pleasing unto the Lord instead of laying out of the house of God, amen, and neglecting to be obedient to assembling ourselves together to please a family member. Amen, don't get mad. I'm just trying to help us. The cares of this life. The devil needs everything he can. He'll throw everything he's got at you. Amen. He'll throw it all at you. Try to get you to neglect the things of God. Listen, the cares are dangerous when it hinders us from serving the Lord, when it causes us to disobey His word. Cares comes to every person. We're instructed to cast all of our care upon Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 and verse 33, the Bible says there that, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. That's talking about the lost. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, the devil will put everything he can in front of you to get you distracted, to get you to quit serving God, to lay out of the house of God. It don't take but one time, amen, and you'll miss the blessings of God. Somebody will see you not at the house of God. They'll see you participating in something that's during church hours where you ought to be worshiping God, and you're out doing something else. And listen, the devil will use that against you. The Bible says we're to put him first. Put him first. He's the head of the body. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead in all things. That in all things he might have preeminence. What does that mean? That means when I get up in the morning, I put him first. Whoop! I go to bed at night, I make sure I speak to him last. Amen. He's first in your life. He's number one, and he has to be, because those cares can cause us to fail and to fall. Care can cause an individual to neglect the assembly. As we've mentioned in Hebrews 10:25, we're instructed not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, or it would cause the individual, the believer, to yoke together with an unbeliever in some business to make money. Listen, that's desirous of riches. Amen. It can cause him or her not to be able to concentrate on studying the Bible and on meditating on the Word of God day and night, as we are instructed to in Psalms 1, verse number 2. Cares of this life. Cares can cause a person to become offended at God. Is everybody with me? I'm telling you, the cares are dangerous. You better be careful of that stuff. Cares can cause you to get your eyes on money. Cares can cause you to be desirous of friendships. Hello. Cares can even cause a person to be offended at God. Why would I be offended at God for not allowing my problems to go away? Sometimes people are offended at God for allowing problems to come into their life, or possibly to become offended at the church for not helping them during their problems. We'll get deep now, ain't we? People get offended at the church. We had some to come and sit in our church, wanted a handout. Guess what they didn't get? Don't give away money. It's my policy, and y'all know this, it's our policy here at Midway. If they come, they need help, they got to sit in the service. They got to hear the Word of God. They got to sit under, they got to endure some preaching. Amen? Then there's no guarantee for money after that, because we don't give away money. We'll do what we can to try to help. Amen? We'll do what we can. We'll pray. If they need food, we can get them some food. Listen, this ain't a handout service. Amen. They come here because they have needs, and we have what they need, and what they need is not a check. It's not a dollar bill. What they need is the gospel. Amen. They're in the mess that they're in because they've made some poor decisions, and the church is the only place that they can come to that is the pillar and the ground of truth that can help them. People get offended sometimes because the church don't help them. Is everybody all right? They stop seeking, stop serving Christ because they are so wound up and concerned about the cares of this world, about the riches of this world. That becomes their priority, not Christ. It's not Christ. We see in this parable that Christians are not exempt from troubles. Amen? You and I have our troubles. We have our problems. Amen. We have our problems. We have our struggles. We have our sorrows. We have our burdens. We have our financial problems. Amen. We go through things. Amen. Sometimes it's no fault of our own. Just things happen. And we go through that, and we love one another, and we encourage one another, and we help one another. Amen. We take up special offerings when we see a need, and we help one another. Because we're walking with God, and we're striving to do what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And we know our brothers and sisters when they're struggling. We know when they have a need, and we try to meet that need the best that we can. Amen? And the cares of life, we deal with that. We know those things are real, but we don't allow that to cause us to get offended at God, or to get offended at God's people enough to stop serving the Lord because of some crazy thought. We know we have our problems. God allows us to be subject to troubles. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 tells us that. We're subject to troubles to try our faith and to produce spiritual growth. This whole passage of Scripture dealing with the believer and his growth, it deals with the wheat and the tares. The wheat grows, and the tares grows along with the wheat. And the farmer says, well, let's just mow it all down. And the farmer says, no, let's get rid of the tares and bundle the wheat. Amen? That's a whole another message. I don't have time to get into it. Let me give you, I'm going to hurry. I promise I'm going to quit with this. I don't have time to deal with all these. The dangers of cares, and then there's dangers of riches. Riches are deceitful because they only promise happiness and satisfaction in this life, but they do not fulfill. Amen. People that's won the lottery, people that's won millions of dollars, thought they'd be happy. They're the most miserable people on earth. Amen. They'll tell you that. They'll testify to that. The pursuit of riches has destroyed many. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says, verse number 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The riches of this world, it's deceitful. It doesn't bring forth happiness. It destroys many. Those get rich quick schemes, it's destroyed a many people. Amen? There's all kinds of things in our day. Even North Carolina now has got this gambling thing you can do, betting on sports and all kinds of other. And you would not believe the people I've heard already that has invested money, that is gambling and trying to win the riches. They're trying to get rich. And they're lost without Jesus Christ. They don't realize that those riches of this world will not bring them salvation. The biggest need they have, they'll be the richest person in the world if they receive Jesus Christ. Amen? You and I that are saved this morning, we have the greatest gift that could ever be given. We're richer than the richest man on this earth because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Don't let the cares of this world and the dangers of riches cause you to fall away from being obedient unto the Lord and for that seed to get on dangerous ground. The pleasures, the dangerous pleasures. Luke mentions the pleasures in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. It's not wrong to be in a place that's not long to have pleasures. Amen? It's not long to enjoy the things of this life. But it is wrong whenever we allow the pleasures to interfere with our relationship with and our service for the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong going on vacation. Don't leave God out of the vacation. Amen. I know many people like to go on vacation, and on Sunday they get up and they go to the beach and they do their thing because they're on vacation. That's out of the will of God. Understand me. Hear me well. It's okay to go on vacation, but don't leave God out of vacation. Well, preacher, I don't know of a good Baptist church to go to. You have church in your apartment or in church in your room. You pick up the Word of God, amen, and you read and you study and you pray. You and your husband, you and your spouse, whoever you're with, you're in your family. I mean, you have church and you take the Word of God and you talk with Him and you commune with Him and you read His Word and you soak it up. Don't leave Him out. Don't leave Him out. They might not be a good church where you're going. And I'd rather you meet in your motel room with your family and take the Word of God and study and read and listen, tune in to YouTube or something like that and get a good message that's biblical than go to some heretic and sit in their service. I'd rather you didn't do that. Amen? But listen, the thing is about the pleasures. Don't let that interfere with our relationship and our service for the Lord. Don't let that interfere. So many people put sports in front of the Lord. They put all kinds of things in front of the Lord. The Bible speaks of the fruit bearers in verse 23, and I'm going to come back to this tonight. I'm going to stop right here. The Bible speaks of the fruit bearers, the true believers. They bear fruit. There's evidence of salvation. And we'll talk about that tonight. The true believer hears Christ's voice, and they follow Him. The true believers. Amen. That's the account here in the book of Matthew. It deals with that seed that falls on the stony soil, and it deals with the seeds that is snatched away, and it deals with those that the word, they heard the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and they become unfruitful. For those that are lost and undone, we want them to hear the word. Amen. We want them to know what thus saith the word of God. We want them to hear that. We want them to know. Amen. They too can be saved. Amen. They don't have to die and go to hell. They can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Also for the believer, we want to be fruitful. I want to be doing things for the Lord. I want to be fruitful. I want to have those fruits that's spoken of in the book of Galatians, the love and the joy and the peace and the happiness and the temperance and all those fruits. I want those. Amen. You find people all around us that say they're saved and they're the hatefulest people you've ever been around. Hey, that's evidence of salvation. They probably ain't got it. Amen. I hope this is a help to us this morning. Cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this world, they can choke out the word. My encouragement to the believers this morning is don't let it affect you that way. Let your light shine, amen? Let it shine. Might make the world mad, might make the family mad, might make friends mad. I'd rather them be mad at me than for some lost soul to go to hell. Because I was distracted. I wasn't doing the will of God. I was at home on Sunday, and I should have been at the house of God. Somebody saw me. And it caused them to have doubts about my salvation. But wouldn't that be a sad day? I'm glad and I'm very thankful that God will wipe away all tears from the eyes of the believers. Because there are going to be many that die and go to hell that we've witnessed to. We did our best. And our best is filthy rags, but we did our best. They're going to die and go to hell because they're not going to accept the gospel. And I'm glad that God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. But until then, well, we've got a work to do. Amen. Church is not a game. It's very serious business. Living for God is very serious business. So somebody watching. Somebody you're going to meet today that's lost and undone without Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take time, but I don't brag on myself at all. I don't want to tend to do that. But I've walked into some restaurants for a business with a tie on Sunday. People literally hold the door for me. They'll step out of the way and say, "Excuse me, sir, didn't mean to get in your way." They notice. I'm nothing special. I'm just a child of God saved by grace. But there's somebody watching. If God lays it on your heart to give them a track, you better give it to them. If God lays it on your heart to say something to them, invite them to church, you better do it. Don't neglect the will of God. You never know the effect of that seed once it's sown. It's got to be sown. Seed that's kept in the barn will never produce. Heavenly Father,